as a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed all about, it sends out a light that I might see. And that light that shines in the darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would sail no more. Everybody that lives around me wants to tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. Ain't no use in it standing around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light from that old lighthouse that stands upon the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse I owe my life to Him. Lord Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the of sin, He has shown His light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Shown His light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where this ship be.
I think all of us can think on that. Where would we be today without the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh my goodness. See, Friday we went to Silverwood. We prayed that we'd have a safe trip. We'd pray everything would be okay. Jeff Munson prayed that we'd have a great trip and that the bus would run okay. Well, the bus broke down about 2 miles from here. Did God not answer his prayer? Not really. God knows exactly what he's doing, why he's doing it, and he allowed the bus to break down. Praise God, it didn't happen 1 o'clock at night over at Kellogg, Idaho. Otherwise, Randy would have had a long drive picking us all up. But no, What we decided was we would walk back to the church, and we weren't going to throw in the towel. And we had mentioned that this is what a great lesson in life. A lesson in life we can learn at 15, 16, 17. A microcosm of life that life is what we make it. It's our attitude. We can choose to have a great day, or we can choose to kick the dirt and stomp our feet and why didn't God do this and boy and on and on and on. And so on the way back with all our heads together, we finally decided, you know what? We're going to have breakfast at Steve's Cafe. Well, that's pretty good start of a day to have breakfast. And then Munson's allowed us to use their van. And then we went to Anaconda and then Phillipsburg went to did the Sapphire. Screen sapphires. And then we went to Drummond and we ate at the 135 different kinds of burgers joint there in Drummond. And then Munson's van broke down. But that's okay. Because the charging system wasn't working, so Charles and Vicky had brought their car because there wasn't enough room in the van for all of us. And so we charge that van for 15 or 20 minutes and drive as far as we could. When she's starting to cut out, we pulled over and got the recharge. During that 15, 20 minutes of time, we either played hacky sack or football or did different things. We had a great, great time. It was a super time. God allowed us to have maybe a better time than we would have at Silverwood. All I know is I know that God is still on His throne and God is sovereign, and He didn't forget about little old Liberty Baptist Church. He kept us safe. He gave us a great time. He gave us fellowship. Some of the kids said, boy, this is better than Silverwood in the respect that we can do things together and we got to know each other. Our message today is in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And I would like to say, and as an addendum to that story, then, when we got into the van, Munson's van, Aaron said, don't let Jeff pray, because look what happened when he prayed the last time. Life's great, isn't it? Verse 11. First of all, Jesus Christ talked about the parables of the lost sheep in verses 4 and 7 of chapter 15, and then the lost coin. He said, hey, you move heaven and earth to find that one that's lost, and it's worth it. And then in verse 11, he talks about the parable of the lost son. And he said in verse 11, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. The parable of the lost son is otherwise known as the parable of the prodigal son. What is prodigal? Prodigal means to be an extravagant expenditure of what one possesses. In other words, waste. That's what prodigality means. Prodigal. But we see in this story, just like the lost sheep and the lost coin, in the end, this son allowed himself to be obtained by his father, allowed himself to belong to his father, allowed himself to be found by his father. We notice in verse 11 and 12, my dad always said, hey, gimmies get you nowhere. There was no gimmies in our house. It was please and thank you. Gimmies get you nowhere. And we noticed that this son in verse 12 didn't say, Father, may I please have? Would it be possible if I could? No. What does he say? Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. In fact, we see three phrases not used enough that weren't used here. Three phrases not used enough in this world today. Thank you. How many times have we held the door open for somebody at the grocery store or the gas station and they walk through as if it's our job to hold the door for them? It's a good thing we don't get angry as Christians. Thank you, forgive me, and I love you are three phrases that aren't used very much that we don't see here in this passage. And in verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted, there's the word prodigal there, wasted his substance with riotous living. And then when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain or gladly have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Question mark, exclamation point. I put the question mark in there. I will arise and go to my father, verse 18, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for keeping us safe, Lord. We thank you for our health. We thank you that we're still able to praise you. We ask, Lord, that you give us the grace to praise you even in the storm. Lord, forgive us for wasting our substance. Forgive us, Lord, for doing our own thing. Forgive us, Lord, for not saying thank you or I love you. Forgive me. And I pray, Lord, this message be a blessing to us as a church and as a people that want to do right. We want to do right. We love you, Lord. And I ask if there's someone here who's not know Christ as Savior, that maybe today they would trust Christ. Ask forgiveness of sin. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The title is, What the Prodigal Son Lost When He Was Found. What did the prodigal son lose when he was found? Things he lost when he was found. Look at verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. The consuming materialism that we can get caught up in as Christians and non-Christians alike in this country. The consuming materialism that affects relationships. This consuming materialism that this son had affected the relationship with his father. It separated him from his father. Give me. You know what? It also affected the relationship between him and his brother, we'll find later on, a.k.a. next week. Next week, we'll look at his brother. But still, consuming materialism. We become obsessed with things. We become obsessed with I wants and I needs. We spend more time building things, buying things, than we do caring about God and others. Instead of being consumed with materialism, gimme, 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 we should be consumed with God. The Bible talks about blessed is the man that is consumed with God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How many of us meditate on the law of the Lord, the Bible, as compared to Craigslist? As compared to shopping? As compared to all these things that we involve ourselves in? Oh my goodness, think how better off we would be. Think how better off I would be if I spent that much time in the Word of God. When I remember thee upon my bed, Psalm chapter 63, verse 6, and meditate on thee in the night watches, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So what's one thing he lost when he was found? This consuming materialism that affected relationships with his father and others. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance. Well, another thing he lost when he was found was poor stewardship. Remember, all these things were given to him by his father. The time, the gifts, and the talents, and the treasure that we have, everything we have, is given to us by the Almighty Father. And like this kid here, we as kids, immature babes in Christ, immature kids, rebellious kids, waste the Father's substance that He's given to us. Psalm 89, verse 11, the heavens are thine and the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. God has given us an opportunity to be managers. Managers of all that He's given us. We're not to be just managers of 10% of our money. We're not to be managers of the 10% of our time. We're not to be just managers of just 10% of our gifts. Everything He's given us is to manage. Does that mean that we can't have fun? Does that mean that we can't do the things that we enjoy? Absolutely not. But we're to be good managers of what is His. And not to be involved with prodigality, which is wasting of substance of what He's given us. Because when it's all said and done, when I'm an old man laying horizontal in a hospital bed, I'm going to have to look back and say, what is my life counted for? What have I done for the Lord Jesus Christ? I might have a garage full of cars and tools and boats. I might have a wall of horns and a fish, Atlantic sailfish. But it means nothing when I draw my last breath. What have I done for my King? Have I wasted His substance? Have I been a good manager of what He's given me to manage? Have I been a good administrator and been a good steward of what He's given me? And that's one thing, that finally when this kid came to himself, he lost poor stewardship because he was able to put things into perspective. Hey, he found out. He asked that same question when he came to himself. Hey, Where would this ship be without the lighthouse? Verse 13. Another thing he lost was riotous living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Riotous is luxurious, festive. Hey, party hardy. Most of us have been there. Party and hardy. And at the beginning of the next day, we wonder, what in the world am I doing? There is no joy. There's nothing I can keep. There's nothing I can hang on to. There's nothing I can be proud of. There's nothing I can brag about. There's nothing I can glory in. I completely wasted yesterday or the evening before. Riotous living. Goes along the adage that no one's ever found a friend in a bar. It's a whole different deal we can once again ask ourselves, where would this ship be without the lighthouse? Another thing he lost, besides consuming materialism, poor stewardship, riotous living, well, look at verse 14, poverty. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. That's poverty, is to being in want, desiring something needful. How many of us as Christians are in want this morning? We're in want of the peace. We're in want of the joy that we once had. We're not talking about poverty of money or substance. We're talking about a spiritual poverty that we now have because we left the Father. The spiritual poverty that we're involved in because we forgot to say thank you to our Father. We forgot to say, forgive me, Father, and I love you. He also lost emptiness when he was found, verse 16, and he would have fain or gladly have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Imagine eating a husk. Imagine being so much in want and hungry that you want to eat a husk that has no taste. It's unsatisfying. Verse 20, another thing he lost is loneliness. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. He came to his father because just prior he'd been amongst the pigs. You can't talk to a pig. You can't have a pig kiss you on the neck. A pig doesn't have compassion. A pig isn't faithful. And when we're among the swine, wallowing in filth, we could be amongst family if we just learn to say, forgive me. Thank you. I love you. In verse 20, he was found. He arose and came to his father. He realized everything was about his father. In verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread and enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Notice, before he came to his father, he had to come to himself and realize all these things, realize that everything was about his father. His whole life revolved around his father. Everything he has revolved around his father. And when he forgot that, he was in want, and empty, and hungry. What's the result of him being found? Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. He was humbled. Another thing he lost was his pride. He was humbled. He realized who his father was. When we come to the realization of who our Father is, the creator of heaven and earth, that all things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. It's all Jesus Christ. It's all our Father. It's all Almighty God. Everything is because of him. We're only here because of him. I don't mean to repeat myself from weeks prior. But when you go to the physician or to the hospital and get lab results, there are myriads of paperwork this long with all these lab values. Something's out of whack, we're sick. Two or three things are way out of whack, we're dead. It's only because of the Father holds everything together. Life, we're so vulnerable. We are actually standing on a precipice between life and death every day. Well, I'm going to do this next week. I don't think I can say that. I hope to do this next week because we don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. We're nothing without the Father. He realized who his Father was, not only the Creator, but in verse 20, notice, and when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion. He realized his Father was compassionate. Maybe that's what kept him from coming back to the Father. What keeps us from coming back to the Father a lot of times is we think God operates on the same plane we do. And if we pulled what we pulled on God, on ourselves, we wouldn't have a thing to do with ourselves. But we fail to realize God isn't like us. God's got compassion. He loves us. He wants to help us. He wants to get us out of a pickle. He's waiting for us to come to Him. He's waiting for us to come to ourselves and realize, hey, we're nothing without God. And he ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He realized who his Father was. Not only did everything revolve around his Father, but he was compassionate, he was faithful, he was loving, and his Father wanted to bless him just like our Father wants to bless us. He says, put on him a new ring, a robe, and a pair of Reeboks. His shoes on his feet. He wants to bless his child. Not only did he realize who the Father was, he realized who he was. A child completely deplete of wisdom. Spent it all. He realized who he was. He was ultimately completely dependent on his Father. He was empty, lonely, and impoverished without his Father. And he realized how he should live. Humbled. Humbled. Oh my goodness. And with humility goes obedience. Giving up righteous living for righteous living. And learning how to say, thank you. Thank you, Father. Forgive me. And I love you. Even the Bible says God loved us first. We love Him because He loved us first. And look at this child. He loves his Father. Because his Father loved him first. His Father was so happy to have him back. Our Father would be so happy to have us back. If you're here this morning, you do not know without a doubt. You cannot stand up or say to yourself, I am going to heaven because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you're here this morning, you cannot say with certainty, we want to let you know here at Liberty Baptist Church, you can say with certainty. Now, I grew up believing that if somebody said that I know I'm going to heaven, I was taught to believe, well, that's arrogant. But now that I've read the Bible and see what God says, it's not arrogant. It's confidence in the Word of God. And the Word of God says, these things have I written that you may know you have eternal life. You know why we can know we have eternal life? Because once again, it's not about us. It's about the Father. The Father so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning and you even doubt and you say, you know what, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. And you know what? I'm going to end up someday with those lab values not quite where they should be. And I might be told some bad news. I don't know what I'm going to do with my sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is what we can do with our sin. All of us who know Christ as Savior, this is what we've done with our sin. We've given it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've received eternal life. We've believed on the name of the Son of God. And we received Christ as Savior. And the Bible guarantees eternal life. Everlasting life. It's forever. If you're here this morning and you don't know what to do with your sin, I beg you this morning to ask God to forgive you. And He will. He guarantees it. We've got a God that cannot lie. And He guarantees He'll forgive you of your sin and give you eternal life and hope that only He can give, and the peace that passes all understanding. For those of us who are saved, we need to go to the Father. And we need to say thank you. Sometimes things are going great, and all of a sudden the Father goes on the back burner. And we go through this life just going through the motions. We'll read our Bible. We'll go to church on Sundays. But how thankful, how truly thankful are we to the Father? Have we asked Him to forgive us lately? Have we confessed our sin to Him? Say, Father, forgive me. I am so sorry. Have we told our Father we love Him? And growing up, our mothers always said, actions speak louder than words. By our life, have we shown the Father that we love Him? We're going to have an invitation, and it will give us an opportunity to go to the Father this morning. That we can use those phrases this morning. Father, thank you. Father, forgive me. And Father, I love you. Once again, if you're here this morning and know not Christ as Savior, you can get that settled too. Someone will show you in the Bible how you can get what the Bible calls saved or delivered from sin and have eternal life. Page 17. Page 17. Let God have His way in our hearts. Let the Father have His way in our heart. Let's thank Him this morning. Let's ask Him for forgiveness.
Thine own way. Thank you.
Billy. Do you have your stuff in the other room? Do you have your stuff in the other room already? Yeah, go grab it. We're going to have a baptism this morning. You're fine. We're going to baptize Billy Teeters. Billy is Lori's mom. Billy is my mother-in-law. And so while we go back and prepare, I'd ask that Steve Huseby, would you pray a closing prayer and then have a seat for just a little bit, and we will baptize Billy Teeters as a member of Liberty Baptist Church.